Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and nine-month FY25 earnings conference call for JK Cement, hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please press star and zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vaibhav Agarwal from PhillipCapital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Leo. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, we welcome you to the Q3 and nine-month FY25 call of JK Cement Limited. On the call, we have with us Mr. Ajay Kumar Saraogi, Deputy Managing Director and CFO, and Mr. Prashant Seth, Head of Business Information and Investor Relations. I would like to mention on behalf of JK Cement Limited and its management that certain statements that may be made or discussed on today's conference call may be forward-looking statements related to future developments and statements which are based on current expectations. These statements are subject to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other important factors which may cause actual developments and results to differ materially from the statements made. JK Cement Limited and the management of the company assumes no obligation to publicly alter or update these forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information or future events or otherwise. I will now hand over the floor to the management of JK Cement for their opening remarks, which will be followed by introductory Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Saraogi.
Thank you, Vaibhav. Good evening, and welcome to Q3 call. The Board of Directors met on 25th of January to review the working for the quarter ended 31st December 2024 and nine-month period April to December 2024. The major highlights are that in this quarter, our net sales was 2,606 crores as against 2,322 crores of previous quarter, an increase of 12%. Though year-on-year, it was lower by 3%, and the revenue from operations was higher by 14% at 2,716 crores as against 2,392 crores and 2,784 crores last year, which was as compared to year-on-year, it was lower by 2%, and previous quarter, it was higher by 14%. The profit, the EBITDA during the quarter was 489 crores as against 273 crores, an increase of 79% vis-à-vis previous quarter, though it was lower by 20% as compared to year-on-year position. The EBITDA margins during this quarter was 18.7% as compared to 11.7% in the previous quarter and 22.6% previous year. The profit before tax for the quarter was 295 crores as against 65 crores in the previous quarter and 415 crores in the previous year. The profit after tax was 205 crores as against 45 crores and 289 crores in the previous year. The EBITDA per ton for the quarter was 1,040 as against 649 per ton in the previous quarter and 1,335 in the previous year. If we see the position for the nine-month period for the standalone, the net sales was 7,493 crores for the nine-month period as compared to 7,707 crores in the previous year. The EBITDA was 1,241 crores as against 1,458 crores, a drop of 15%. The EBITDA margin for the nine-month period was 16.5% as compared to 18.7% in the previous year, a drop of 13%. The profit before tax was 650 crores as against 850 crores previous year. The EBITDA per ton was 910 rupees for the nine-month period as against 1,091. These are the major highlights. The balance sheet position, the gross debt as on 31st December was 4,863 crores as against 4,593 crores as of March. The cash position was 1,755 crores as against 2,011 crores as of last year. The net debt was 3,108 crores as against 2,582 crores. The net debt to EBITDA was 1.74 as against 1.29. These are the major highlights. Besides, the board also reviewed an opportunity in the region of J&K and decided to invest in Saifco Cements, which has a capacity of 0.42 million tons, and it is proposed to acquire 60% of the equity of the company. The company proposes to enter into the shareholders' agreement and the share subscription agreement. The deal would be. This would, however, be subject to the completion of the due diligence process and some of the conditions precedent, which are likely to get completed within next 3-6 months' time. This has been the major position for this quarter. I'll be pleased to address your queries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Jyoti Gupta from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Good set of numbers. Two questions, sir. One is, I understand that North has been extremely doing very well, and fourth quarter also seems to be, seems to remain robust. Two things. One, just that since the volume growth has been there, yet the raw material cost has come down on a YOY basis, has grown, increased on a YOY basis, while your power and fuel has go, you know, declined substantially by 19%. Could you please explain, why is it not commensurating with the raw material cost increase? The second thing is, has the plant that you acquired in Odisha stabilized completely, and has it become breakeven now? So which means, any losses from, the North, the East plant in Odisha is not, has no implications on the overall EBITDA. And plus, what is the implication apart from the market share for Saifco? What other, how do you intend to increase the capacity, and what, in what phases would you actually increase the capacity for Saifco?
Thank you. So I'll answer in the power and fuel expenses. If you see, they have increased during the quarter as compared to previous quarter. Though, you know, the volumes overall, if we see, they have been more or less flat, and the clinker production was lower because in the previous quarter also, and in this quarter, there has been some shutdown in the previous quarter, so the power fuel consumption was lower. And in this quarter, we also see a lower fuel pricing as compared to previous quarter.
Okay. And the plant in the North, in the East, Odisha, the one we actually acquired?
So, the one we acquired, we have done some modification in the plant, and that has now been completed. it's at completion stage, and I think from next fiscal onwards, we propose that whatever we will be operating the plant at full capacity and would be generating profits. Though in this year, up till now, there has been some losses at Toshali plant, and in the 9-month period, there has been a cumulative loss of about 9 crores.
Sir, we see it profitable despite buying clinker from the open market, or have we acquired some reserves over there and we'll be able to...
No, we are not buying clinker from the open market. We are getting the limestone. We don't have a long-term limestone arrangement for a higher capacity. Whatever the existing capacity, we are getting the limestone. That agreement is already there. So the clinker is already operating there. So there are certain production inefficiencies and some modernization had to be done. This work is at advanced stage. I mean, it's about at the completion stage, and will be operative within this quarter. The plant would be normalized, and we are going to launch our brand also in this quarter. So with that, from next year, post FY25-26, we see positive EBITDA from the Toshali plant.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, we are not really present in the East market. So there'll be some selling and branding expenses which should build up in the fourth quarter and the subsequent one quarter.
We don't have any big plans because it is a very small region and we have a small quantity also. So there is no big spend which is of significant nature which needs to be specified and told that we don't have any such plans.
And so what about CESCO? I would like to understand, apart from...
Yeah.
So, SAFCO,
this is a plant in Srinagar, and this is a capacity of 0.42 million tons, and presently the clinker capacity is about 0.26 million tons, and the plant is operating at a lower efficiency, though it will not be on the numbers, we can say it is 40%, but in the region, in the valley, we operate the plant only for about 9 months only. So, it's already a profitable company. There is a EBITDA margins of about 1500 rupees a ton. But we see that there are immediate opportunities in improving the performance of the plant, and to get an increased profitability by another 400 rupees a ton. Besides, we have a plan, but we have studied the plant. There is an opportunity to increase the clinker capacity to about 1,000 tons per day with a capital outlay of about 50 to 60 crores. With that, we would be able to increase the present profitability in that plant is around 24 crores, which is inclusive of the SGST benefit, which is, we get benefit both on central and state. So it's a full exemption. So that, including that, and which is available up to 2031. So we are hopeful to, one, increase the profitability, take it up to 2,000 rupees a ton, and at the same time increase the production capacity from present level to more than 100% over a period of one and a half years. Immediately after taking over, within 6 months, we'll be able to step up to about additional 60-70%, and then another 60-70-50% after we do the capex. This plant also has a mining reserve spread over 144 hectares and reserves of about 123 million, which gives an opportunity for further expansion, which a view would be taken not immediately, once this is a new region, we will evaluate the region, we will see how the things are, you know, politically and otherwise. This is a new, it's a new region for us. We need to understand the things, and maybe after 3 to 5 years, a call may be taken depending upon the situation to further expand there or not.
Agreed, sir. The other thing is, sir, 174 crore is 60%. So, anytime
yes, plans to... Pardon?
I said 60% at 174, so your plans to acquire, take full stake of by to 100%
so,
by...
So, the value is 290 crores and 60% is 174 crores.
Okay. So, and the refurbishment cost, apart from that, does it include...
Hello?
Hello, so refurbishment cost? Sorry, am I breaking?
Refurbishment cost is about 60 crores in all, which will be met which from the operations of SAPCO itself.
Okay. And the 60% will become 100 by when? Or is it going to be 60% for the next 2-3 years?
No, there is, we do not know about that. Because there has been, there were no, there is no such immediate agreement. We will see how going forward if it is possible or not. But as of now, I mean, it is a joint venture which is going to continue at 60-40.
Okay, and the profit sharing will also be at 60-40.
Yeah, yeah, of course, that's the equity, so it would naturally be that.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So, great numbers, congrats on that. But last quarter you had a lot of one-off costs. Just wanted to confirm that this quarter, was there any one-off in the result or it's just absolutely normal quarter now?
Yeah, this has been a more or less normal quarter.
Sure. And on the capex front, what is the number that you're looking at now for 25 and this is a tentative number for 26 as well?
So capex, like we have planned around 1900 crores of capex in this year. And next year capex could be in the range of 19.
Sorry, I didn't get the next year number.
I said earlier, we remain as it is, except whether you take it as a part of CapEx or a thing, this 175 crores on this SAPCO acquisition would be additional.
Yeah, so 1900 plus this SAPCO number.
SAPCO number will come actually in the next fiscal.
This is not going to come. The payout will be sometime next fiscal only, beginning next fiscal.
Oh, okay. And what is the number for next year you mentioned?
Next year, 1700 crore plus the SAPCO acquisition, like 174 crores.
Sure.
So, even if you see now, the 1700 crores will include major is for the line 2, which is about 1400 crores. And 300 crores is the normal capex, broadly the broad numbers if you look at. So that would be the numbers 14 plus 3 plus SAPCO. These are the numbers.
Understood. And also in terms of the future expansion potentials at Jaisalmer and Madhapur and others, is there any progress either in terms of approvals or anything that you've seen?
So we are just working on all the approvals for Jaisalmer. And we would have a clear picture sometime by June this year.
Okay. And any, like, can we think of when can this tentatively start in terms of capex? I mean, can the capex start in 26 itself, FY26 itself, or will it
see, be much, Amit, see, much would also depend on the scenario. So once, you know, we are... yes, as far as this calendar year is concerned, we would first concentrate on completing line 2, which is present track, and the expansion work is on track, and we are well set to commission the whole thing within FY26. So So there is no, so we are confident on that. There has been some delay in the approvals for the grinding unit, where also, you know, we have done the Bhumi Pujan, and now we expect that to be, you know, within 11 to 12 months. So by December this year or January next year, the grinding at Bihar would also be operative. So yes, by that time, once we have all the approvals, then we will take a stock of the market situation and then take a call on the various opportunities which we have and plan accordingly.
Understood. And lastly, like, what is the expectation on the KKR fuel cost now?
See, fuel cost is already down and there's no...
It is down. Yeah. It has come down. It was, I think, some of the contracts
we have. In this quarter.
But again, there has been some, you know, as we speak, there has been some hardening of the some prices increases there. We have to wait and watch. But, you know, the quarter December was quite good in terms of when we, you know, placed orders for petcoke at a very good rates, ranging from, you know, between $95 to $105. So that has been the, but we do not know going forward what will be the situation, as we already seeing some hardening of the pricing.
And what was the KKR number this quarter?
1.50 rupees beta.
Okay, sure. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. Next question is from Patanjali Srinivasan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Good quarter.
Yeah, sorry, you have to be a bit louder. Come closer to the mic, please.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yeah, it's much better now.
Yeah, so congrats on a good set of numbers, sir. I have a couple of questions. One is, what would be the incentive that would be included in our other operating incomes in this quarter?
So incentive going forward and even now, you know, is, you could say broadly around 25 crores a month, 75 crores per quarter.
Okay.
Broadly, so 10 crores here and there, depending upon the volume and other things, some incentives, you know, they get. So that would be the whole thing. It's around 75 per quarter.
Okay. So the additional difference here, like in the current quarter, the numbers are 110 crores. So what would this be? What would the differential be? Like, what is the nature of
110 crores include the other operating incomes also. It is not totally the incentive.
But yeah. I'm just trying to understand what the difference
is. There was some additional incentive on account of the start of the incentive for the Ujjain plant. And now also we have got the additional mean approval for the CAPEX. So there is some incentive of 10 to 15 crores relating to the previous period which is accounted for in this quarter.
Got it, sir. And just one more question. The white cement, the realization in the overseas has gone up quite meaningfully. If you would tell me, like, what was the reason for this?
Pardon, I didn't follow.
The white cement realization in the overseas business has gone up pretty meaningfully. So could you tell me, like, what is the background for this?
No, it is actually the, because it is regarding the Fujairah plant. So Dubai economy is picking up. There is good real estate growth. And that is why, I mean, we are able to get good results in the UAE operations.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask questions, please press star and one. Next question is from Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, just want some more color on the white cement and putty market. If you could just share how are the margins and the overall demand supply situation in the domestic market. Is it deteriorating further? Is it stable? Are there any green shoots visible?
So the putty market continues to be very, very competitive. So both, Asian Paint and Birlab, they are very, very aggressive. So as a result, you know, putty, the prices are under pressure. And Asian Paints, with what all have already, has already become the largest seller of putty, though they don't have any manufacturing facility. They are mostly outsourcing, but still they are the, they have the largest market share of putty. But having said so, though the demand is increasing, I mean, there has been a growth in putty demand about 8-9% overall. Yes, the growth of Asian Paint is more than us. We have grown by about 4%, and Asian Paint has grown in double digits. So this platform still remains very competitive. There is an absolute growth in volume of the white business, but otherwise it is very competitive. And it is having an impact on the margins. But still we are able to, operate at, get EBITDA margins of ranging between 15 to 20% in the white business.
Understood. Understood. That's helpful. Sir, from your commentary on the cost side, as far as variable cost is concerned, is it fair to, kind of infer that we've kind of, all the cost savings, largely because of the commodity price deflation is behind us, and from here on it will basically depend on how coal prices trend.
So yeah, but there are certain some more opportunities there in terms of we are increasing the share of our green power, and we continue to work on increasing the AFR share. And besides that, we are working on the logistic costs. So these are the areas where still we have got certain benefits which have accrued, but we see some more, as we said, you know, on a journey of about 150 to 200 rupees a ton. We may be closing the year by 40-50 rupees realization of that. But some other about 75 rupees a ton, we will get over a period of time.
Understood. And sir, is it possible to share how is the prices now, say in January versus the average of 3Q in our key markets, north and central?
So, except I think marginally higher in the month of January on the average of Q3, but this is just the beginning. We have to see how it goes, and though we are hopeful, yes, it could be better than Q3.
It's similar both in north and central, the trend?
Yeah, both, but it will depend, see, because when the year end comes and there is a pressure on volumes by everyone, does it have any impact on the pricing, on the price? So all this has to be seen. But as of now, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so if I may just squeeze in one last question, overall in a growth of, mid-single digit, and how has been the market growth in both central and north in the third quarter?
So see, our growth, naturally most of our growth is coming from the central markets because our expansion is in the central market. Our growth in the north is, we may be marginally at par or maybe marginally lower than the overall, because when we had some maintenance, so at that point of time we did cut down some of the non-trade volumes, but we have been able to maintain our trade share across. But the major growth factors is in the central India, where the major investment is being done. There definitely we are growing much more than the market.
Got it. Understood. Thank you, sir, for all the answers. All the best.
Thank you. To ask questions, please press star and one. Next question is from Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. My first question is on incentives. You said 75 crore per quarter. So this run rate, based on future expansions and ongoing this number is could stay stable for like maybe a number of years, like 2 to 3 to 5 years, or like how is the incentive going to pan out?
Yeah, it should remain stable, because what would happen, you know, like for North, going forward, the North incentive which we are getting for at Nimbara will get tapered off. But however, you know, the central incentives would increase. So we see in terms of the value, it may remain same, but it could have a lower impact if larger volume numbers, say North is also excluded, South gets excluded. So that may have some mixed variance. Otherwise, we see that about 75 crores, you know, each quarter we should get as an incentive.
And is there any difference in timing of receipt from various state governments for whatever reason, those states fiscal at this moment?
So timing difference, you know, it takes about a year or so in realization. So what we see when vis-a-vis whatever will get accrued in this year, the actual realization is more or less of the amount which accrued last year. So it's a 1 year gap. So whatever amount gets accrued this year, we should get the payment in the subsequent year.
Sure. Thank you. And one more question on your profitability. We have recorded like industry leading EBITDA pattern this quarter. And as you said, there's no specific one-off either there's like small one-off in incentive related to prior period, but still like 1,000 rupees is the unit EBITDA for this quarter. There's some price increase in Q4 and operating leverage, like both of this will lead to like probably growth to like 1100 or so like in next quarter. How do you see profitability in Q4?
So Q4, it all depend upon what is the price increase over Q3. So whatever is the price increase over Q3, I think that much we could we are confident of getting that incremental EBITDA.
Sure, sir. This is my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. Next question is from Naveen Sahadev from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, please. Naveen, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, a couple of questions. So, first of all, paints, if you can just throw some light, how was the performance in this quarter in terms of revenue and EBITDA? I think in past quarters there have been some losses in the paint business. So does that continue? If you can give some information there, please.
So if we talk about the revenues for the paint, in this quarter we did about 83 crores as the net revenue, vis-a-vis which was, you know, 53 crores in the previous quarter. And year on year it was 47 crores. And in the 9 month period, we have done 200 crores as against 101 crores in the previous year. So, we have been able to pep up this business quite well. Yes, on the profit, it is nothing surprising, but this was there that we would to establish the brand, and there is, the fixed costs are also will be on the higher side. In this quarter, there is a loss of 17 crores, which is more than what it was in Q2 of 11 crores. And in the 9-month period, we have had a loss of 38 crores. And we should be ending the year with a loss of approximately 50 crores plus, marginally over 50 crores. This is how we see, and that is as per the plan, and we expect the top line to be around 275 crores plus. This was the indication what we had given, 275 to 300 crores, despite the fact that this year there has been a big disruption by launch of Birla Opus. So we have been able to do that.
Right. And just to understand this better, this loss of 17 crore, is bulk of it in the standalone entity, or it could be in the console entity?
It's in the console.
Okay. So the entire loss is in the console entity.
Yeah, because it's paint loss, not in the standalone entity.
And despite that, I'm saying despite that, the difference between console and standalone remains positive at about 2.5 crore. EBITDA.
Yeah, this is because of good profits from the Fujairah plant. So,
okay, so Fujairah is really doing good then, right?
The Fujairah, we had about 24 crores as an EBITDA during this quarter, which was same as previous quarter, and in the 9-month period we have got about 68 crores as EBITDA as compared to 55 in the previous year.
Wonderful, wonderful. This is good. Great to know that. So, from a volume perspective, sorry, I've not done the math, but what is the utilization at UAE now, and what is the scope there? Because if the profitability is good, can we expect further improvement or recovery there?
So, see, again, UAE, though, it is, but it's always, it's a very typical market, you know. With now, as we foresee going forward, next year would become a bit challenging, because Asian Paints, is planning to set up a white cement plant in the UAE, which should come sometime middle of this year. Though not a big capacity, but definitely that is going to have some disruption.
In the UAE market, you're saying?
Not exactly UAE market, but again, this is primarily for self-consumption. They would bring in clinker from there to India and maybe use for their putty, for the putty production. So that's the plan. We do not know what is there, if they have some other plans, though, but the capacity is not big. But having said so, it will have, we being a major supplier to Asian Paints for their putty, it will have some disruption on the volume numbers for white cement, both in the UAE and India, because we will be losing a big customer.
Is it possible to share how much is the volume quantity?
Close to combined, close to about 1 lakh tons.
Okay. 1 lakh ton volume, 100,000 tons is what we sell to Asian Paints on an annual basis, which can be impacted next year.
Yeah, which can be.
Understood. And
80,000 to 1 lakh tons, that is a, but not full year may not be impacted, but partially, yes.
No, fair point. The market is also growing, so that is also.
Yeah, so we have been working out on other avenues. As we said, even for Fujairah, we have a backup plan. We introduced IMX motors. We had Africa as a growth area. So all that working which we had done now, it is giving some positive results. So that Africa is now turning into black, and even the IMX motor is giving us profits. So, and we are trying to do look at other revenues for white cement in the region.
Understood.
So, yes, but so when I'm saying it, further, though capacity utilization is, as for overall capacity utilization It's about 85%. But so the plant would definitely be operating around 75% plus, including clinker and cement.
Understood. Understood. And on the grey cement bit, are we likely to face any volume disruptions in the UP region because of the ongoing Kumbh Mela and maybe one of our plants right being there? So do we see any logistic issues or some hit on volumes because of this? Just wanted to get that one. Thanks.
Not much. When it's not affecting.
Not affecting as such.
Yes, I mean, it's not no significant as such, you know.
Understood.
That way, you know, that Delhi will have some elections, some, but that's not any major disruption.
Understood. Understood. That's helpful. And last question, was there any change in the mix in the quarter sequentially, as in trade versus non-trade for the March quarter, or it was broadly the same?
No, it is. Trade was 66% in this quarter. Last quarter, it was 65%.
It's improved. Okay. That's all I wanted to.
One more thing, we have been able to improve upon our premium products. So this quarter had the highest percentage of premium products.
Understood. Understood. So that's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. To ask questions, please press star and one. Next question is from Ritesh Shah from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted some clarity on the JLK venture. Sir, I was just looking at the number of limestone leases in the state. There are several of them, including several in the names of Mr. Trambu. I think he is a key owner from where we are looking at the asset, looking to buy the asset from. So, the question is, what is the sort of competitive intensity you look in the region, and how is it that we were able to pick this asset and nobody else in the industry?
That I will not know how. I mean, see, we have been looking at JNK for some time, 2-3 years. So, we've been seeing what sort of opportunity is there. There was some time, you know, divestment of JNK cement also was on the cards. And then we had some friends in the region, and so they connected us maybe. Then we had a dialogue, and because nobody is ready to, you know, divest when they have been there. And all, I think cement, all the players are there since late 90s, you know, mid 90s. Everybody came to set up the plant during that period, and they have a good incentive package, and so everybody not they're not too pressed or anything which needs the diversification. So we had some meetings and we could convince them that it would be a win-win position, but definitely when we started a dialogue for a 100% acquisition, which was not there acceptable at all. So then we came that we, it could be, you know, a good partnership in the interest of both the parties. And this is how we got into this arrangement.
Sure. And so there are multiple limestone leases across different districts over there. Do you think after your move, the competition in the region will actually increase?
I don't think so. See, again, there are 5, 6, 7, 8 plants over there in the region with supply. I mean, the limestone leases, you know, in our case also, the limestone lease earlier, the land or the mining lease had to be, you know, a company could not own those mining lease. So they were allotted to in the name of individuals. And they used to lease it out to the company. And now the government has relaxed that. So as a part in our case, in particular, the mining lease will get transferred in name of the company. The extension is already there. That's a process. So it will be extended up to 2046. And at the same time, as a next step, we propose to get the lease transferred in the name of the company.
Sure, sir. And sir, can you detail on the sort of incentives that you are expecting, and we have indicated some incremental CapEx over there. Is it contingent to the state's industrial policy or the fiscal incentives, and what sort of numbers we are looking at over there?
So they already have this SAVCO has an incentive which is available up till until 2031. So it's a 100% exemption of SGST and GST. So which is around 800 rupees a ton if you convert that into the per ton analysis. So it has an impact of about 800 to 900 rupees a ton, and this will be continued to this will continue until 2031. And it has got there are no other stipulations in the exemption which is available to SAVCO. I'm not aware of any other plant, but for SAVCO it is there. And this investment which is being done, 60 crores, is only being done with a view to increase, I mean, see, because that market is 100% OPC market. The grinding capacity is 0.4. What we lack is clinker. So once and there is a scope in modifying the kiln production from present about 780, 750, 780 per ton to 1,000 tons per day. And with more our technical experience and other things, we would be in a position to increase the productivity of the kiln.
Sure. And sir, anything on the tax rates?
Pardon?
Anything on the tax rates?
A tax rate, I mean, it is a normal, there's no special, I mean, there's no incentive on the tax rate.
Accumulated losses, anything?
Yeah, there are some accumulated losses, so that we are evaluating as a part of. I don't have them because that is a part of the process of the whole due diligence. So I would not be able to, until the whole due diligence is done regarding the tax, which is a part of process, we'll not know what are the tax incentives which are, I mean, accumulated losses are there as per the assessment, what opportunities are there over there.
Sure, sir. This is helpful.
That is a work in progress.
Correct. And sir, my second question was on Toshali. Sir, given we don't, I'm not sure whether we still have clarity on the limestone over there. If at all, if we get into a MOU, how much is the rupees per ton, including royalty, that we'll have to pay to the government? Sir, is there any clarity on that as yet? And if not, then why are we even considering Toshali?
No, because again, there is definitely an opportunity available. We are still in dialogue with the government, and we have not got a regret. They are still considering our proposition, so we are hopeful. Two, even going forward, we could see, in the vicinity, and some of the mining may come for auction. So if that comes into place and we take a mine in auction, so that will become again a business case for us.
Right, but sir, historically, the way in which we have operated, we have been very, very conscious on the OpEx side. If it is through auction, it will become expensive. I'm not sure if we do a MOU, whether it will be below 300 rupees per ton of limestone. So, is it like optimal from a ROC standpoint, or is it more like regional diversification? It's more of a strategic move that we are looking at?
See, going forward, auction mines or limestone mines are becoming for renewal. So, post 2030, most of the cement which would be produced would be from the mines which have been already re-auctioned, I mean, there's a or from auction mines. So going forward, there would be nothing available. Very, very few mine areas would be available where you have limestone where there is no premium has been paid. We have to see everything in the long term, medium and long term, not in the short term. In any case, even if everything goes well with the mining lease, and we get the mining lease allotted at Toshali, the plant would not come into operation before 28.
Sir, if I may squeeze one industry level question, you did indicate that post 2030, most of the leases will be, which will be used will be under auction leases. Is it possible, based on your assessment, if you could highlight which region will see the maximum cost curve or raw material inflation? Is it central, north, south? How are you looking at it, sir?
The older plants will have, you know, more. I mean, see, the older the plant, their leases will get expired. The newer plants will have some more years to come, stay. The plants which started, you know, all capacity, all the mining leases which were allotted in the 80s will come for renewal.
Right. So, sir, from that perspective,
yeah.
So from that perspective, we will be very well placed in central India, but not so much in northern India.
Some of our mines are coming for renewal in 30, 32, 35. So that is there. It is. So we have taken some. That is definitely there. It is there for all old established players.
Thank you. A final reminder to participants for questions and no further reminders would be announced. The next question is from Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Most of the question has been answered. Couple of just a clarification or a data points. Sir, first, this clinker line, the second line and the 6 MTPA. So you mentioned out of that just a Bihar likely to be either max by January it will start and rest all will start by this December end.
We see the clinkerization and the other two, the modification in the existing grinding units at Panna, Amirpur and Prayagraj to get done in this year.
Okay, got it. Second, sir, in terms of the cost reduction, you mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, that in the fourth quarter, you are looking further 50 rupees kind of a cost reduction and another 75 odd rupees in the next year.
No, sorry. I said ki cumulatively what we have been doing, we would see, you know, some savings have already accrued by March. So some savings are there, already there. So this could be 40, 50 by the close of the quarter, you know, the cumulative savings.
Okay. And the next year?
It is not an incremental saving in this quarter.
Okay, got it. And for incrementally next year, how one can look at in terms of cost savings?
Yeah, maybe over a period of time, we could definitely see another 50 rupees coming in next year.
Okay, got it. Second, sir, just to get a number, for 9 months, how much console capex we have already done?
9 months we have already done capex of above 800 crores. Around 1400 crores.
Okay, 1400 crores. And the incentives, though you have mentioned that this quarter was a 10-15 crore extra, so is it fair that for this quarter we have booked around 85-90 odd crore incentive?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And sir, fuel mix for this quarter, how much pet coke would be?
Pet coke is normally by heat around 75%.
See, pet coke is higher in case of the north and the southern plants, while in case of central plant, it is lower, where domestic fuel is the major fuel and pet coke is around 25-30%.
Okay. And sir, in the fourth quarter at Grey Cement, I'm just trying to understand how much growth one can look at for industry where we operate, or maybe for us, 9-10% kind of a growth one can assume.
Yeah, see, we are targeting, but I think we are confident that we could get about 7-8%.
Okay, got it. And for paint, sir, whatever the for FY 26 and 27 revenue
last time whatever you have spoken 400, 450 crore and 600. Remains intact?
Yeah, so we should, yes, I think that 450 and 600 still remains intact and we are working towards that.
And in terms of EBITDA break-even by FY27 only we will be able to do it.
FY27 should be EBITDA break-even.
Okay, got it. And lastly, sir, road mix for this quarter would be how much? Same 91%?
Yeah, road was 91%.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Uttam Kumar Srimal from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, my question pertains to premium cement. You mentioned about 16%. Sir, where do you see premium cement sale moving ahead in next 2 years?
So we are working, you know, next 2 years, definitely we should be able to have 20% plus.
Okay. And sir, in the this premium cement sale is coming more from the central region?
So, see, today maximum it is in the south plant, but as we are, you know, central region is a new market which we are entering, you know, as we are expanding the central region. That is why, you know, it's taking some time. So, yes, we would be expanding at in the northern as well as central regions.
Okay. And so lastly, what would be our volume growth guidance for FY26?
So FY26 should be, you know, around 10% definitely from exit of FY25.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side and all the best to you.
Thank you. We take the last question from Vignesh SVK from KSMA Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just want to understand how is the market dynamics, sir, in our region? Any competition from the large players?
So the competition from the large players remains as it was over the previous quarter. There has been no new, large player, anything which is having any significant impact.
Okay. Any pricing impact because of these players aggressive or how is the?
No, not. I mean, I will not say as of now we. Anything, if there is anything, we'll let you know, but as of now, it isn't.
Okay, so thank you. That's it for my check.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Vaibhav Agarwal for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, I would like to thank the manager, J.K. Simon, for the call, and many thanks for participating in the call. Thank you very much, sir. They will be not coming to the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Vaibhav. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, we conclude the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.